Money Psychology. Money Psychology.
Every time you reach for your wallet, check your bank balance, or make a financial decision, you're not just dealing with money. You're reliving every money lesson, fear, and belief you absorbed before you were old enough to understand what any of it meant. I'm Elliot Graves, and this is Money Psychology, where we explore how your earliest financial experiences created the money mindset that controls your financial life today. Welcome to Money Psychology. I am so excited for this one. I have to admit, I've been looking forward to this conversation for weeks. Me too. Because look, as a storyteller, I'm obsessed with the narratives we build around our lives, especially our financial lives. The reasons we tell ourselves for why we spend, why we save, why we panic. And what could be a grander, more ancient narrative than the one written in the stars? Exactly. And that brings us to today's big, and maybe for some, controversial question. Is your financial destiny written in the stars? Can your zodiac sign really tell you anything about your relationship with money? You know, my personal interest here comes from a place of, let's call it, structured curiosity. I see the data, the behavioral finance studies, but I also see millions of people turning to their horoscopes for guidance. I'm fascinated by the psychology of that intersection. That's the perfect way to frame it. Today, we are not just looking up at the sky. We're turning that lens inward. We're exploring the financial constellation, decoding the impact of astrology on money behavior. We're going to be navigating some really intriguing territory, from investment risk tolerance to your everyday spending habits. Can your birth chart reveal a hidden tendency to splurge or a predisposition for cautious saving? It's a huge topic, and we're going to be talking to experts from both sides of the cosmos, so to speak, astrologers and behavioral scientists, to see where these two worlds might overlap. Get ready, because this conversation is going to be out of this world. So let's dive right in. The scientific community has a, let's say, skeptical view of all this. The word you hear thrown around constantly is pseudoscience. Where does that label actually come from? It really comes down to a core principle in the philosophy of science, most famously articulated by Karl Popper. It's the idea of falsifiability. Right. The idea that for a theory to be scientific, there has to be a way to prove it wrong. Exactly. And with astrology, that's incredibly difficult. Popper saw it as pseudo-empirical. It looks and feels like it's based on observation, on data from the stars. But when you try to test its predictions, they either fail or they're so vague they can't possibly be proven wrong. It's the classic horoscope line, isn't it? An unexpected financial opportunity may present itself. Well, if my friend pays me back the $20 he owes me, was that it? Or if I find a dollar on the street? And that's where our own minds start to do the heavy lifting for the horoscope. We engage in what's called confirmation bias. Ah, yes. We remember the one time the prediction seemed to come true, and we forget the 50 times it didn't. It's a powerful psychological pull. We want to see the pattern. But what I find even more fascinating is the counter-argument from another philosopher, Thomas Kuhn.
Oh? He didn't think it was about falsifiability?
Not entirely. Kuhn's point was more subtle. He said the real problem is that astrology doesn't progress. It doesn't solve puzzles. What do you mean by that? Well, think about astronomy. When an astronomer's prediction fails, when a planet isn't where the model says it should be, it creates a puzzle for the entire scientific community to solve. It might lead to the discovery of a new planet or a revision of the laws of gravity. The whole field evolves based on the failure. Precisely. But according to Kuhn, when an astrologer's prediction fails, they don't revise the fundamental principles of astrology. They just explain away the failure. They might say, oh, the birth time must have been slightly inaccurate, or there was another transit we didn't account for. So, the core system itself is never challenged. It's static. It's static. It hasn't fundamentally changed in nearly 2,000 years.
there are no new phenomena being explained, no existing problems being solved in a new way. And for thinkers like Kuhn and Paul Thagard, that inability to progress, to confront its own failures and evolve, is what truly separates it from science. And that's the thing that really gets me. That idea of it being static. Because our financial lives are the opposite of static. They are chaotic and emotional and constantly in flux. So maybe the appeal isn't that it's a science, but that it's a story that doesn't change, a fixed point in a turning world. We crave that. When the market is volatile and your paycheck feels uncertain, the idea that your financial personality is anchored to something as immense and permanent as the cosmos, I mean, that's a powerful psychological bomb. Right. It's not about predicting a stock market crash. It's about having a language to understand your own panic during the crash. It gives you a character to play. Oh, this is just my cautious Virgo nature kicking in. It externalizes the anxiety. It becomes a tool for self-narrative. And you know, I think that's where my initial skepticism has softened throughout our conversation. I came in thinking about the hard data, the lack of evidence, but I'm leaving with a much deeper appreciation for its role as a psychological framework. Me too, but I also have this lingering concern. What happens when that framework becomes a cage? When I'm a Libra, I can't make decisions becomes an excuse for not creating a budget. Or I'm a Sagittarius, I need freedom, becomes a justification for debt. Yeah, that's the critical distinction, isn't it? The difference between using it for insight versus using it for permission. Insight is, I have a tendency towards impulsive spending. I should watch out for that. Permission is, the stars made me do it. So, in the end, maybe the question isn't whether your financial destiny is written in the stars. Maybe the real question is, what story are you choosing to read up there? And are you using that story to empower your choices or to abdicate them? That, I think, is the real bottom line. A fascinating, fascinating discussion. Thank you for taking this journey with me. Always. And thank you to everyone for listening. This has been Money Psychology. We'll talk to you next time. The next time you make a financial decision that surprises you, whether it's an impulsive purchase or an overly cautious investment choice, ask yourself, whose voice am I hearing and what childhood memory might be driving this choice? Understanding your money psychology doesn't guarantee better financial decisions, but it's the first step toward making choices based on your current reality rather than your childhood fears and dreams.